Telecom.
First of May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, the 27th of May, I beg your pardon. From Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man and background to the news, Manx Sport, Business, Sea-Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. No new confirmed cases of C-19. That's 336 in total. A government briefing concerned the elderly and care homes today. Will Manx Staycation start the process of rejuvenating the hospitality industry? Back to school, the unions meet the government and celebrate Timbal Day. Where? At home.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Lewis Foster.
Fastamai. It's now been a week since the last new coronavirus case was recorded in the Isle of Man. At today's government media briefing, Health and Social Care Minister David Ashford announced the total number of confirmed cases has remained at 336 for a seventh consecutive day. There are still six active cases, though, with four in the community and two in hospital. There's no ban on the public attending this year's Tynwald Day ceremony, but locals are strongly encouraged to stay at home. Members will still sit on Tynwald Hill, albeit with social distancing in place, but petitioners won't be able to present their documents in person. And government's plans for the Manx economy and how it will emerge from the current coronavirus lockdown should become clearer in July. Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon will issue the update in a budget statement during the regular sitting of Tynwald that month. In international news, the UK Prime Minister says it wouldn't be a good use of official time to hold an inquiry into Dominic Cummings. Boris Johnson's appeared before a committee of MPs to again defend his senior aide for travelling 260 miles during the lockdown. Mr. Cummings insists he did it to ensure he had childcare. Meanwhile, the total number of people to die with coronavirus in the UK has now hit 37,460. Another 412 deaths have been recorded over a day. And finally, England's track and trace system will be up and running from tomorrow. It's seen as a key step in lifting the lockdown and means anyone who is in close contact with someone who turns out to be infected will be told to self-isolate. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with the news at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramayed, thank you, Lewis. From the Ronalds Way Met Office out in the North Irish Sea, no problems at the moment. It's flat as a mill pond as I look out of the studio over Douglas Head at the moment. On the island, dry and partially cloudy through the night, the overnight minimum 12 Celsius. Jerdain, Thursday, dry and cloudy at first, and long sunny spells developing, light breezes, top of 20 Celsius tomorrow, down to 12 degrees through the night into Friday. Jehenia, dry and sunny with a light to moderate east-southeasterly, up to 21 degrees on Friday. Sunset 25 to 10 tonight, low water a minute after that to 24 minutes to 10, high water 27 minutes past 3 a.m., sunrise at 4 minutes to 5, and low water 3 minutes past 10 tomorrow.
The team at Manx Glass and Glazing are available for email inquiries. Contact them on inquiries@manxglass.com.
It's now been a week since the last new coronavirus case was recorded in the Isle of Man. However, the Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford, MHK, has again warned we can't be complacent. Speaking at today's media briefing, he said when we conducted the contact tracing after the last few confirmed cases, there's been no obvious link to another known case. They have to come from somewhere, so it's not an immaculate contagion. Mr. Ashford was joined by the consultant geriatrician, Dr. Duncan Gerry, who spoke about the action DHSC has taken to help the care homes cope in the face of COVID-19. He started with the department's main objective.
To increase the resilience of care homes, and our hope in doing so was to reduce the transmission of COVID-19 in the care home to care home staff and other residents. We felt the best way to care for everyone is to care for the carers. Planning to minimise the risk in the care homes has become a three-part process. Firstly, we assess care homes and their current state of preparedness, and we offer guidance and advice on how to improve the now, and then to carry on with the second part, which is an ongoing support and assurance process. Lastly, there is a team who will visit care homes should an outbreak occur to rapidly assess and respond to new cases in care homes. In the first step, the assessment and supporting the preparedness has involved infection control, senior nursing, care home managers, staff, general practice and hospital consultants. We assess the policies and processes to do with infection control and personal protective equipment. We review the education and training of the care home staff. We assess the environment in which the carers work and the residents live, and we pay attention to the particular challenges for and posed by residents should COVID come to call. From this, we've generated a matrix with a red, amber and green rating, and this informs the second part of the process and the ongoing support to make sure we maintain our state of preparedness. This process has been invaluable in terms of learning for both the community and us, with each visit giving an extra layer of detail that the next home benefits from. Regarding outbreaks, we felt the lowest number was the right one, and we determined an outbreak to be a single new positive test in either a carer or a resident of any care home. And we've responded to care homes now on two occasions.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Good evening, it's 23 minutes to six. If you're involved in the hospitality industry, you know times aren't good. So how are the island's hospitality businesses going to adapt to reopening either fully or partially as the coronavirus restrictions ease? One of the issues raised when Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon was on the Man in Line earlier today, he was asked what he made of Liverpool City Council's making £450,000 available for grants to help such businesses establish or improve their outdoor areas.
Well, I fully endorse those sorts of measures. They are discussions that are happening behind the scenes at the moment. I know it's particularly the Department for Enterprise is closely engaged with the agency boards that it has to understand what is required for the particular sectors. Here in Treasury, alongside DfE, we're working on a piece of economic analysis this week to really understand the full impact. That's going to contribute more broadly to our economic plan. But yes, sector by sector, we need to be working to maximise the opportunities right now. I think it's safe to say this is very much a subject of active discussion in terms of how can we facilitate, when they reopen, those businesses, particularly in our pubs, hospitality, restaurants, leisure businesses, where we can try and cut through red tape, give them the best chance of success, and give, I guess, people also the opportunity to support these businesses in a safe and secure environment. So really supportive of those kind of measures. Those discussions are taking place, and I very much hope that we too can produce our own policies around the type that you've just described from Liverpool.
How important in financial terms is the hospitality sector?
It's a very important. It's not only just important financially for the island, providing jobs and opportunities. But it also, plays an important, it's a part of an asset in terms of our social fabric as well. People love living on the island and businesses and want to develop and stay here, but partly because of the total package of offering we as an island bring. So, yeah, they very important part of our society. Clearly, it's been a sector that's been under a lot of pressure, particularly when you think of pubs. And it's an ever-changing environment, people coming up with new ideas for hospitality. But we want to continue to support it. I would like to see it develop.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes to six. All three vessels down below Manx Radio in Douglas Harbour, looking lovely in the evening sunshine. The fast craft Mananan continues to operate daytime sailings to Heysham, and the next one is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. The motor ship Ben McCree is providing the overnight freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Well, back to the hospitality and tourism sector. The Department for Enterprise is looking to get tourism going again while the island's borders remain closed. They want to allow Manx staycations. Holiday lets, camping and glamping sites are now allowed to resume business with Manx residents again. Visit Isle of Man is the department agency in charge of tourism. Its head, Angela Byrne, spoke to Lewis Foster.
Obviously, with the situation on the border closures, it's kind of had a massive impact on tourist accommodation and other businesses in our sector. So this is a short-term sort of stage one approach, really, in the self-catering and also camping and glamping accommodation businesses allowed to open up and offer a staycation to residents. It really came about twofold. One, we had a number of residents who'd been contacting some of the businesses saying that, you know, they wanted to come and stay, but also from the self-catering sector who were already taking in residents for self-isolation. So it seemed to us it was an opportunity for our residents to see just how many stunning self-catering properties there are around the island. They may feel, because they can't necessarily go on their holidays, that a long weekend somewhere else on the island that maybe they haven't been to in a while, people would, you know, like that change of scene. But also, once the borders are opened in a sustainable and managed way, we want to encourage residents to invite their friends and relatives to come over and stay on the island. So by our residents staying in self-catering cottages and houses, it gives them the ideal opportunity to test that out before they start encouraging their friends and relatives to come.
What's the feeling on the ground amongst the owners of these properties, holiday lets, etc., in regards to letting people? Are many owners keen to get back to work, or are some quite sceptical about this new approach?
It's a bit of both, to be honest. There's some that are quite keen and they've proactively looked at how they can do remote check-in and check-out. But we've also got some who have chosen not to open up, and that could be for a variety of reasons. It could be for their own individual circumstances. So it's not, you know, where we are sort of saying everybody open. It's very much the business owner's choice.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
18 minutes to six. A new director has been appointed at Equiem Tax Services. Jenny Akrig has been promoted from within, having worked for Equiem since 2017. She joined from one of the big four and has 11 years' experience of providing tax advice to clients. She also provides technical support in respect of international developments like FATCA, the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, and the Common Reporting Standard, CRS, and Economic Substance Legislation. Congratulations to Jenny. Some Airbnb hosts have been forced to sell their rental properties worldwide through financial distress. They say Airbnb hasn't done enough to help them. It's a stark change of fortune for Airbnb, which was planning to make its stock market debut this year. Apparently, coronavirus has acted as an equaliser in the market. Airbnb, of course, disrupted hotels when it launched in 2008, but hotels appear to have a hygiene and social distancing advantage over Airbnb. We talked yesterday about how Spain's opening up. Hola! Spain's welcoming to tourists from July prompted a surge in travel stocks. Spain will reopen its tourism industry, some 12% of its GDP, without quarantine requirements. Airline and hotel companies were lifted on renewed optimism. Shares in TUI zoomed up more than 50% yesterday, 50%, and BA owner IAG up 22.5%. Investors and holidaymakers alike have their eyes now fixed on Germany, which is expected to ease travel restrictions in the middle of June.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher following the unveiling of a huge coronavirus recovery package from the EU. The American dollar edged higher as worries over the response to China's proposed security law for Hong Kong injected a more cautious tone into foreign exchange markets. Oil fell after President Trump said he was working on a strong response to China's proposed security law in Hong Kong. Gold dropped to its lowest as hopes of a quick economic economic recovery drove investors towards riskier assets. In corporate news, Carnival and Whitbread were in the black amid optimism over the lifting of travel restrictions in Spain and Germany. M&G rallied as it announced the acquisition of Royal London's digital wealth management platform. And the numbers at 5 o'clock in London at the close, the FTSE 100 was up 1.25% at 6,144. The DAX in Frankfurt up 1.33% at 11,655. Just after 5 o'clock in New York City, the industrial average, the Dow Jones, up 0.75% at 25,180. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 1.25% at 9,221. And the S&P 500 in Chicago flat at 2,990. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 22.2 cents and 1 euro 11.4 cents. And in commodities, gold down 0.5% at $1,701 an ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 4.25% at $34.50.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookle, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Good evening. It's 14 minutes to 6 on Manx Radio. This week, the Manx government was defeated in Tynwald over a bid to make submissions to planning inquiries written and remove face-to-face interaction. In a debate on emergency powers, Environment Minister Geoffrey Boot, MHK, faced opposition, with some arguing a virtual solution would be fairer. Although the House of Keys voted for the motion by a single vote, the whole LegCo voted against it, which meant it failed. A strong argument for using only written appeals came from the former chairman of the planning committee, Tim Baker.
The reality, honourable members, Mr. President, is that where we are today is that the appeal process is blocked. It's stuck, and that is not a good place for the island to be. It's bad for the economy because development potential is not moving forward. It's bad for individuals. Most of the applications that are in the appeal process are simple domestic applications around home extensions or building a garage or change of use. And it's bad for our construction sector, which, let's not forget, we're coming out of a emergency and we know that the economic damage is going to be significant. So there is a clear rationale from all those perspectives to get this planning appeal process unblocked. What we have in front of us is a solution which is workable and I believe is fit for purpose. And indeed, all we're doing, Mr. President, honourable members, is taking a solution which exists currently, which allows either party to an appeal to opt for a written hearing and saying that all hearings for a period of time will be in written form.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Ed Oldham.
Fast am I. In lieu of the real thing, a TT lock-in has been created to help provide fans with their road racing fix. The Department for Enterprise is providing 8 days of digital content from the past, present and future. It'll feature some of the greatest solo and sidecar moments in TT history, with live interviews and personal insights from some of the race's biggest stars. It'll be hosted by vlogger Chris Pritchard and double TT race winner Steve Plater. The content is set to be streamed from Saturday the 6th to Saturday the 13th of June. Manx Radio has previously announced it's looking back on highlights from previous years in its Mountain Memories programme. Further afield, Premier League clubs in England have voted unanimously to resume contact training. Joe Rawson reports.
This is a major step towards matches starting again sometime next month. Though training sessions will look different to before the pandemic, players will now be able to train in larger groups and tackling will be allowed, but they will also be expected to minimise any unnecessary close contact. Strict medical protocols will remain in place to ensure training grounds are a safe environment and players and staff will continue to be tested for COVID-19 twice a week.
And the International Cricket Council has rejected claims this year's T20 World Cup will be postponed. The tournament, which involves 16 nations, is due to take place in Australia through October and November. Despite the uncertainty of the coronavirus pandemic, the ICC says a number of contingency plans are being considered, which will be discussed at a board meeting tomorrow.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
10 to 6, the two departures from Ronalds Way got about away just about on time. The 4:40 to London Heathrow was 3 minutes late, and the 4:50 to Liverpool departed a minute early. So inbound, we've got the 20 to 7 from Liverpool and the 8 o'clock from London Heathrow. On the roads, main road in Crosby has got some four-way traffic signals. That'll be fun for electrical cable laying. It's on for a while. Look out also on the new Castletown Road in Douglas, one way northerly between the entrance to the NSA and Quarterbridge roundabout for the construction of a puffin crossing. King Edward Road in Growdle's got two-way traffic lights for railway works, and also the Broadway on Douglas closed forever. Well, till the end of September anyway. Between the Prom and Derby Road for Douglas Promenade renovation work, all the information is at myprom@gov.im. You can also find everything at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. And the Matrix signs have one message: 40 miles per hour, all island speed limit. Stay home, stay safe.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
A meeting was held this morning between the Department of Education, Sport and Culture and the unions who represent teachers and education professionals on the Isle of Man. It was to discuss government's proposals to start sending children back to school. On Wednesday, 17th of June, pupils currently attending hub schools will be able to return to their normal learning environment. The local negotiating secretary for the NESUWT is Geraldine O'Neill.
The purpose of the meeting today really was to go through the policies that they are drafting in relation to COVID-19 and how they will affect our workforce returning in this expansion now of schools, etc. That has quite a significant implications for us across the whole staffing levels, really. So we got a lot of clarifications on that this morning, and also on our view again of how important it is for us to have this collective communication. What we have found is if there are separate meetings with separate groups, that things, vital messages, can get lost in that. We also discussed the start up of the Industrial Relations Forum, which is first meeting is on Friday, and the sort of things that we would possibly look at as general themes there, such as a health and safety committee, to be quite honest, because out of this crisis, we feel health and safety is the area that we're going to have greater guidance on and collaboration and working through government moving forward.
How would you classify the relationship between the Department of Education at the minute, communication-wise?
Well, I have to say we still are having communication issues. I mean, there were certain things that came out during the press conference on Monday that we were not aware of in advance. Looking at the online learning, the live streaming, that's something we would like to see actually discussed with us as professionals before any such consideration is given. There are lots of GDPR issues there. There needs to be a whole set of policy and principles and protocol for students, teachers and parents. Matters such as that, we would feel it would be better first to discuss that with us and get everything in place, because teachers haven't been trained for this. The different models that are happening in different schools depend on whatever that school's provision is of online learning and remote learning. We all accept that. This is a learning curve for everyone, so we need time to develop what would be pedagogically a good means of work going forward.
Tynwald Day will be different this year, but the president of Tynwald wants you to celebrate our national day, but do it at a home. The president of Tynwald, of course, Tynwald Day is the annual ceremony at St John's. He said we'll look a little different this year, with only the essential parts of the occasion taking place, like the reading of the Acts. Steve Roden's been explaining more to Sean Cowper.
It's a statutory requirement, because if the Acts are not promulgated within 18 months of having been enacted, they become null and void. The petitions for redress of grievance, where the members of the Manx public have the ancient right to present petitions, that will not be possible in person. Instead, arrangements are being made for the presentation of a redress of grievance, not in person, but to be submitted to the clerk of Tynwald's office.
So for members sitting on the hill, are they going to have to do social distancing?
They will be spaced out on the hill, on the three tiers of the hill, because there will no longer be other participants, as I mentioned, clergy, captains of the parish, and so on. So that social distancing will be possible, all members on the hill, because it is a sitting of Tynwald Court. It is a sitting. It's expected and important that all members are there.
How difficult a decision was it to not have petitioners present their papers in person?
It was actually a straightforward decision to make that. It wasn't a difficult decision. It's one we made with regret, because petitioners do like the opportunity to present in person. But the main thing is that they will have that right preserved to have their petition presented.
With the sitting still taking place on the hill, is there an outright ban on the public attending, or is it just guidance?
There is no ban as such. We're encouraging people to stay at home, but of course the promulgation of the Acts from Tynwald Hill is a public act, and in historic form for members of the public to gather round and listen to. So while we are not saying no, don't come, we're strongly encouraging people to celebrate National Day in their own way at home.
It's certainly different, isn't it? That's it for Update tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Lewis Foster, producer Ewan Gorn. Remember, Update's available as a podcast by Apple, Google, smart speaker or Spotify. The details at manxradio.com. And for the most comprehensive source of Manx news, remember, manxradio.com has everything. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'm Andy Wint, back Thursday evening at 5:30.
WINT.
Some non-essential retail shops are now open. Continue to follow social distancing guidelines at all times. Only shop for the things you need. Shop alone if you can, and follow the guidance from retail staff. See gov.im/coronavirus.
Aon is the island's commercial insurance broker of choice, providing businesses with risk solutions including buildings insurance.